Hello and welcome to PokeSports Podcast, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin, and I had the chance to take Wolfclick out of the losers, out of the winners bracket, no. But I didn't because I lost to the person before that.
Kevin, you were so close. There is a full alternate dimension where you just beat the person who won the Players' Cup too.
Let's be honest, it wasn't going to happen, but still.
Hey, listen, you know,
I would have had the opportunity.
It's that episode gracefully. Of Community with the rolling of the dice or whatever, and each answer equals a different dimension. That's what happens when you roll the dice. That's what happens when you play Pokemon, my friend.
It's almost like Pokemon is children gambling.
Oh, no. No, don't call it that. No.
I mean, the game corner, though? The game corner. Got rid of it.
They fixed that. They fixed that. It was a problem in the 90s. We fixed it.
Hey, kids, here's some slot machines.
Oh, no. Folks, if you are listening to us on today, that's Sunday, December 13th. It is, of course, National Day of the Horse. Go and grab your favorite horse or horse Pokemon and just go run around with them for a bit.
There's a long list of horse Pokemon nowadays.
There are. There are. And you know what? We had this conversation a little bit earlier. The game ruined my all horse team by taking out Zebstrika.
I was just about to ask you to list every horse Pokemon, but you've already done that preemptively for the podcast.
Yes, sir. We've got, I don't know if this is everyone. There may be a few that I'm missing, actually. So if anybody in the chat wants to go and shout out any other horse Pokemon that I may be missing, please go and do that. Zebra is, debatable. But anyway, we've got Calyrex, the ghost and the ice form. We've got Glacier. We've got Spectre, Mudsdale, Rapidash. There are two forms of Rapidash. And then Zebstrika. I count Zebstrika. Technically, I guess by that metric, you could count like Sawsbuck. Because that's like a horse variant.
Oh, well then if we're going that far, you can count Xerneas. You can count Stantler.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, let's go even further. Anything with hooves, you can count Rhyhorn, Rhydon.
Oh, no. Rhydon.
Rhydon is a horse.
Groudon.
Hey, did you know a rhinoceros is actually part of the horse family?
No.
It's an equus. Yeah. They, like, very long time. Okay.
What?
Welcome to Pokemon.
There could be people going around riding rhinoceri, and I don't know about this. This is insane.
In another Earth, yeah.
Horsey? Thank you. Yes, Horsey.
Oh, Horsey's true.
A
Horsey.
Very good one, CJ.
If we're including Horsey, we got to include Skrelp and Dragalge, too.
Of course. Sea King is a horse. Sea Biscuit. You know, Sea King, Sea Biscuit. It connects. There's the Illuminati triangle.
Every Pokemon is technically a horse. Scorbunny, horse.
Yeah. A bunny
Chespin,
is a horse.
Horse.
If you're listening to us on Wednesday, December 16th, as this podcast comes out on everywhere you find your podcasts, it is National Chocolate Cup. Girafferig. It is National Chocolate Covered Anything Day. So go and get anything. Cover it in chocolate. Do it. What would you cover in chocolate, Kevin? If you could cover one thing in chocolate. Anything in the world.
Why is this a hard question for me?
Is this actually a hard question for you?
Okay. Jell-O.
Yes, Kevin. Okay. Yes. Very, very nice. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Raspberry
when I was a kid,
Jell-O.
Made Jell-O. Used to put some Nesquik sauce right on top of that. Oh, it's just
a sauce. Chef's kiss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're supposed to say syrup. Don't say sauce. That makes me think of tomatoes.
I guess so.
Chocolate tomatoes.
Yeah, I guess that is chocolate syrup, isn't it? Chocolate sauce is a thing, too.
Chocolate whip liquid.
For me, of course, it's strawberries. That's why I put it there. Strawberry. Okay. Oh, chocolate strawberries, dude. So, so good. Let's talk Pokemon, my friend. Want to talk some Pokemon today, or you want to like not do that?
I mean, this has just become the competitive chocolate-covered anything podcast.
Yeah. Yo, we should have like a draft league where we just have chocolate covered things. What is the best chocolate covered something? Well, actually, I wouldn't mind doing that. I would watch that. Jeez. What up, Peach? All right, so folks, let's talk Pokemon. In Smogon news, we've got these four Pokemon in the news. We've got Linoone, Poltegeist, Sharpedo, and Slurpuff. All of these Pokemon are no longer allowed in NU, never used that bracket. And so they are there. Now, yes, correct. They're now landing in NUBL. So they were just too OP in the tier. And it's actually funny because I have very personal history with all four of these Pokemon in singles. All four of these Pokemon have like incredibly meme-y sets that work so, so well.
Mike, mm-hmm. You said Linoone, but that's a ferret.
What did I say? I said Linoone. That's a ferret. They look so similar. Whatever.
If you guys aren't watching the video version of this, Michael legitimately has a ferret on this screen instead of Linoone.
Dude, when I was looking... Okay. Hey, hear me out. When I was looking for the files for this, for this image, I was scrolling through and I see this like long thing with fur on the end of its tail and its guts. They look almost exactly the same, is what I'm trying to say. All right. Whatever. I mean, it's a ferret.
Ferret is in the game.
Ferret's in the game. So Linoone, Poltegeist, Sharpedo, and Slurpuff have a very personal history. Apparently not personal enough with the ferret, but anyway. Poltegeist has a little move called Shell Smash. You pair that with a White Herb, and Poltegeist can go absolutely ham on the entire team. Sharpedo has Protect into Speed Boost. Linoone and Slurpuff, well, they've got a little thing called Belly Drum.
That's right. Slurpuff still has Belly Drum in singles.
That's right.
Yucky.
Linoone can pair that with Extreme Speed, and Slurpuff can pair that with like Drain Punch.
Unburden Boost.
And Unburden, exactly. So all of the HP that it loses, it gets it right back with that. But Linoone, it's a little harder, so you do need the Citrus Berry you do with Slurpuff as well. But it's a little bit harder to keep yourself alive without that Unburden Boost. Honestly, why you have +2 Extreme Speed.
All these Pokemon are so good, I'm surprised they're in NU.
Right.
Like in singles.
They're going to make their way back up to our, to like the tier. But I assume that these guys can hit UU.
Honestly, like all it takes is usage. People just have to play them. Play them.
Lupus Rex just called Ferret Canadian Linoone, and I'm looking for it.
I mean, that explains why Mike confused the two. He's just so used to seeing like Ferret running around.
I know it's not a Linoone, people. I know it's not a Linoone. Oh, I hate everyone. Okay, I love you all. folks, Cinderace. I feel like
Everyone's bullying Mike in the chat right now, by the way, guys.
It's that time. It's that time of the year again. It's that time of the couple weeks. Every few weeks, we have to talk about Cinderace making a move in Smogon. Cinderace is currently in suspect testing until December 22nd in National Dex this time. To remind you, Dynamax is not allowed in National Dex, but Z moves and Megas are allowed. So Cinderace has been able to be in there. And yes, you can pair a Z Crystal with any compatible move on Cinderace, and Libera will trigger. So
that's, I see.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to give someone an early Christmas present, all you have to do is you play Cinderace during the suspect test and prove to people how stupid it is.
You won't be able to to give them that Christmas present on Christmas. So make sure you do that early.
You could literally kick it out of the National Dex. You could Dex it Cinderace right here.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. The
world's greatest horse Pokemon, Cinderace.
World's greatest horse Pokemon. Folks, that's it for Smogon news. Let's move on to some esports news. The only Pokemon news this week, apparently, because they are all about the Players Cup 2. Players Cup 2 has finally ended after many, many, many weeks. Technically, it ended many, many weeks ago, but they do this thing where they record the matches and I guess edit around them after they do their commentary and whatnot. And then, you know, that was the finals were just streamed today. So let's talk about the winners. We've already kind of talked about the one winner who Kevin beat in an alternate dimension, but The runner up was David Carrere. Is that how you pronounce?
Sure.
Cool. Narinbo underscore VGC. You can go and find him. Coming in with a wheezing Reggie Gigas, a Venusaur, Torkoal, Reggie Alecki, and Urshifu. Unsurprising, completely surprising to nobody. I actually just played, I think, against this exact team on the ladder a few days ago. Wheezing and Reggie Gigas is just nasty.
Mm-hmm. Those two Pokemon together. Yeah, it's a little disgusting, especially since like every Weezing will protect first turn, so you're just stuck with a Regigigas, which you're probably not going to be able to Oko for at least one turn, because you can't Oko the Weezing either. My best experience with dealing with it, just burn it. No. If you can burn it, burn it.
Oh, okay.
Then you'll kind of be okay.
Is that it?
I mean, kind of.
Oh, well, there you go. Wait, was people in chat are saying that it was last week. Was this recorded last week? Was this played last week?
This just finished, guys.
Yeah. Well, and the playthrough of it, like the...
Oh, maybe.
The broadcast of it was today. Was it not? Or maybe that was Saturday. But either way, that is...
We just finished seeing it now.
We just finished seeing it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The winner was Wolfglick. We all know Wolfglick, very popular VGC streamer / content creator / competitor, coming in with a Dragapult Colossal, unsurprising to nobody, Urshifu, Rillaboom, Incineroar, and Moltres. Both of these teams, by the way, on our video version of the podcast, you can go and check the rental code if you want to go and use those. Yeah, a good team. I mean, It's very similar to the other teams that he has been using before. He's been using Colossal Dragapult for so very long because he's been on this bender of trying to make it like the most popular Pokemon.
Yeah. This is also the second time that Colossal has won the Players' Cup. And you kind of have to give a little bit of a double take at that, because clearly Colossal is a good Pokemon. Clearly, yeah, when paired with Dragapult, it's a great Pokemon. But yeah, that's two victories. I can already tell you guys right now, if you don't have a counter to Colossal on your team, I just finished a coaching session. There, like, out of the 10 battles we had, 8 of them had a Colossal on them.
Wow.
So you should probably work on your Colossal counters. Everyone and their mother is using it.
Now, is that because it's been popularized? Or?
Well, that's just because they all finished watching the Players' Cup and they're running on Showdown trying to try the team. And I think it will make a resurgence because, you know, Crown Tundra came out. People were trying their new fun stuff. They kind of put Colossal in the side.
For sure.
And now that it's won a major tournament, they're all going to be like, I need my rock back.
It is important to note that David versus Wolf in their first battle, Wolf had actually lost, moved down to the loser's bracket and had to climb all the way back up to face him in the finals again, where he ended up winning. So did that work out in the end for him, where he could actually look back and see what he could have done better? Maybe. And just something to think about there.
Look at that redemption arc though.
Yeah. Right. I almost think it's better for somebody to lose to somebody in the winner's bracket, move down to losers, and then like work their way back up. Because at the time of the grand finals, when you're facing off against that person who you already lost to, you know their team so, so well. Like, imagine if David had not won, if he as well got knocked down and then like lost out of the entire tournament without having to face Wolf again. Then the Wolf would have had to face an entirely new person and not really know the play style, not really know the team as well as to the person he lost to.
Yeah, that is true. Wolf did have like, you know, weeks to actually go back and look at why he lost and how he lost to it.
Yeah.
Especially since that was like his only set loss in the tournament. So you really want to focus on that one. Cause like we said multiple times on the podcast, you really learn on your losses. Mm-hmm. And losses should be the battles you study, not wins. Wins don't really teach you anything. Wins you show to your friends, losses you study.
That's fair. I mean, I'm thinking about that. I'm like, I want to say that that's incorrect, but I don't think that you're wrong. Because it's like, if you win a game, what are you going to do? You're going to study on how you chose moves, you know, based on the current situation. I guess that could work. But what for a lot of people is a more direct comparison, is just to see what at what point you lost the game, because it's not right at the end. You always have lost the game like one or two turns or three turns or four turns or even like way, way back at the beginning.
Sometimes turn one.
Sometimes you lose turn one. Sometimes it's not very obvious, but sometimes you lose turn one pretty hard.
The only time I think wins are actually worthwhile to rewatch is if you won because of hacks, and to try to put yourself in a situation to where you didn't rely on that hacks too much.
Right.
Go back and figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Yeah, if you won or lost a hacks, then you know, that is indicative of luck. It's not indicative of your team building prowess, unless it's part of it. I don't know.
A lot of people are pointing out that this is a water shifu on Wolf's team.
Yeah.
I think that was just a conscious decision to just have an Aqua Jet user on this team and also have a Aqua Jet fighting type.
Mm.
I don't actually think that Water Urshifu is better than Single Strike and that Wolf Glick sees something that we don't. I think it just fits on the team better.
Yeah, it just
that's
fits
just
on
my
the
personal
team.
Opinion.
Well, because sometimes you need the priority to trigger your Colossal's Weakness Policy Steam Engine rather than a super fast Dragapult with Surf.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. And then I believe we also have, yes, we also have the finals usage stats for Players Cup 2. Now, there's something that we have here on our notes that I'm noticing. Urshifu is actually misrepresented on this graphic. We have Urshifu Single Strike, which is seen four times at 27%. But actually, Urshifu Water Urshifu plus Dark Urshifu make up for 46%, more than the Landorus of the used Pokemon on this one. So to kind of correct the numbers on this thing, we've got Urshifu sitting at 46%. We've got Landorus T sitting at 40%. Grimmsnarl, Regieleki, and Rillaboom, as you can see on this, are represented at 33% of teams. And then Glastrier, Kartana, Tapu Fini, Torkoal, and Venusaur are all at 26% because of the movement of Urshifu. Not 27%, which you see on screen. What you don't see on screen is Incineroar, Moltres, Galarian Moltres, Porygon 2, and Rotom Heat, all sitting at 20%. And then down to 13%, we've got Amoongus, Celesteela, Colossal, Dragapult, Raichu, Spectrier, and Stakataka, all again 13%. The rest were one-offs. The rest of them were one-offs.
Yeah, every other Pokemon that were even mentioned were one-offs. Mm-hmm. Some very like crazy Pokemon that I really didn't expect to be one-offs were things like Cresselia was only on one team. Thundurus was only on one team. Zapdos only on one team. No Heatrans. No Metagross.
No like, Heatran.
No Metagross. No nothing. Where are these Pokemon that you see on the ladder so often? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a strange thing to see like, hey, Pokemon that you thought were really good didn't make top cut. In fact, a lot of Pokemon that dealt with them made top cut.
It's helpful to realize that this was made like, or Players Cup 2 was performed like long, long ago. So some Pokemon like, you know, hadn't had the chance at that point to build themselves up and to become what we know as the meta right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like now Heatran is everywhere.
Yeah.
Back then, kinda. People were kind of using it, but you could also kind of use like Colossal instead.
Regieleki, though. Who would have
guessed? Yeah, that one was weird.
Giving a Pokemon 200 base speed really does make it good.
You know? Seen five times.
Who would have guessed?
Who would have thought? And then in any news past the Players Cup, there's nothing really that's going on. Past then, Pokemon likes to kind of focus all their efforts on that. However, there is a pretty neat piece of news that you can receive a gold bottle cap today and tomorrow. Ooh. If you use the code PC2FinalsStream. The I is a one. So PC2F1NALSStream. NALSSTREAM. There you go.
Figure it out.
Yeah, you can figure it out. Get on into your mystery gift. Go and get yourself a... that.
Do you think now that they finished the PC2, it's time for some Pokemon news? Like they're gonna announce something?
I would love that.
They definitely announce it after Christmas though, right? Because they want to try to make us buy other Nintendo Switch games. then they announce something big after Christmas. Like that space between that. Well, they have to announce Series 8. We still have no idea what Series 8 is.
That's very true. No, I think I'm trying to think from a business perspective. What's better? Should you try and bring hype for your game, or should you let Christmas happen and let other people get new games for the Nintendo Switch? Does Pokemon want to release news beforehand so people are still playing their game through Christmas? I think maybe.
It's Pokemon's decision when they announce things, right? It's not Nintendo's decision. So I don't think Pokemon cares about Nintendo sales. I think they care about Pokemon sales.
So then it would be better to say something before Christmas so that people are still playing their game after it.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe people will feel enticed to go grab their new Pikachu plushie from the PokemonCenter.com.
Are you now sponsored by the PokemonCenter.com? Are you?
I did make a lot of purchases.
Do you have to use promo code X-Rays Ovation or something? Like something you're not telling me?
Promo code PC2
Final Stream.
F1 Nals Stream.
That's it. Oh boy. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to be talking to you guys about what happens when legendary Pokemon enter the Dynamax meta. It's a thing that we've been thinking about for months and months and months, ever since we've actually received the ability to catch them. And I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of other people are too, about what is just going to stack up in the meta, what's going to stack attack up in the meta, and you know, where the game's going to go from there. Like, are legendaries going to actually take over? Who knows? Well, let's find out after the break. We'll see you in a little bit. And we're back. Welcome back to Bogey Sports, everybody. Like I said before the break, we're going to be talking about legendary Pokemon. It's a topic that I've just been racking my brain about over the past X months, just so many months. Just with regards to the fact that we have Dynamax now, we've got it. It's here. And so how are legendary Pokemon going to actually stack up? So Kevin, let us know what you've done for this exercise here.
So I've constructed an infallible tier list.
Oh,
it's infallible because I've constructed it. Cannot be argued with.
No.
Cannot be. Okay, in all honesty, if you guys have differing opinions, then
that's that they do. Yeah.
I hope they do too, because I'm sure I'm not right about half of these. But I believe that I'm right about most of them.
Okay.
The reason why I've constructed this tier list is because most people are speculating, myself and Mike included, that Series 8, if not Series 8, VGC 20,000 or whatever it's going to be, is going to include the legendaries. Year. Yeah, it's going to include the legendaries at some point. They always do this. I don't actually know. Are you familiar with like Ubers or VGC series with legendaries at all? Or did you only play the series without them?
I'm familiar with Ubers.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
So you know that Zacian's pretty good, right?
We're going to start with
S tier, by the way. S tier, number one.
Hold on. For this, to help the visuals, I have created a tier list that we will be working on together. I may or may not have added not all of the Pokemon, so we'll at least go through the ones that we're going to talk about. So if you don't see the one that you're thinking of on the list, don't worry about it. It just means we don't care. yeah, so you mentioned Zacian, this guy right here.
Yes.
Okay, where's S-tier. He going? S-tier.
S-tier, right, immediately.
This is a very easy tier list, by the way. We've only got SABC. So,
because there's no such thing as F tier legendaries.
No. They're legendaries. Otherwise, they wouldn't be legendaries.
Yeah. So Zacian can't Dynamax, but it can ruin Dynamaxes, which is a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. The fact that it has Behemoth Blade, which doubles in damage, which essentially nullifies Dynamaxes, if you think about it, because Dynamaxes double in their health. So Behemoth Blade just gets rid of the health bonus they get, which is nice. It's a physical stab steel move with a base 170 attack Pokemon that gets a +1 upon switch-ins.
Oh my goodness. And I mean, if you look at its base stats as well, that thing's got base 170 attack. You're kidding me. Base 148 speed. What up,
it's Dragapult? It's faster than Dragapult. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Its typing is also incredibly disgusting with like immunities to poison and dragon, only two weaknesses and resistances everywhere.
Like everything. Wow. It's got like quad resistances to bug, but also just like normal resistances to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different types.
So you guys missed the Mega Mawile. Here she is. But Mawile's here's the back thing that a lot of people don't talk about with Zacian. It's still very defensive. It's base 115 on both defenses with 92 HP. That's still very tanky.
Yeah, yeah.
With all those resistances, it's going to be really hard to knock this out with like one hit. Like you're almost need a fire or ground type to knock this thing out. It's a problem. And I'm really worried. I'm really worried about Zacian for like if you thought Xerneas was bad, what is a Xerneas anymore, right?
Well, I have a feeling that Zacian being as totally broken as it is, that might be one of the reasons that we haven't had legendaries in our meta for so long, and why they're like kind of hesitant to really get into it. Like all of their competitions so far that have included legendaries are like, yeah, you can bring one. That's it.
That is true. Yeah. They haven't even been like, usually it's been two.
Yeah. What if, cause maybe that's a thing too, is you can bring legendaries, but maybe you can only limit it to one just in series 8.
Okay. Just try to ease your way in there before we completely open the floodgates. Okay. You got to drown slowly. I get it.
Yeah. You got to drown slowly. Then VGC 2022, then we'll just open it up to everybody and no one will be happy.
That's usually how that works, yeah.
Correct.
And then only the worst kind of people win the tournaments.
Exactly. All right, who do we have next?
Since we brought it up, Xerneas, I guess we could bring up now.
Let's do it.
This is a weird one. I'm going to say S tier just because at its core, it's a great Pokemon. I'm pretty sure Geomancy is still going to be great with Power Herb. The reason why I'm hesitant is because of steel types and because of Zacian and because of how many different ways Pokemon introduced to very clearly try to slow down this Pokemon.
Okay.
Like I wholeheartedly believe that Xerneas was attempted to slow it down with Zacian.
Right.
This is my personal opinion.
So among the legendaries there, we'd still consider it S tier, but we wouldn't consider it better than Zacian.
Yes. I would definitely consider it S or A, or like an ABL. You know what I mean. Like in between.
You know what?
The
two. I'm going to make an executive decision. I'm going to move Xerneas to the very left of the A tier. So top of the A tier, just basically ban list.
Sounds good to me.
Okay,
I'm in accordance.
Great. Who do we have next?
You could pick a Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
That way, we don't only do the S's.
That's fair. How about we go Yveltal?
Oh, S.
Oh, okay.
You want to know my reasoning behind this?
Very much.
Okay, you know Galarian or like Moltres, right? Just think of that, but better. You just get a Dynamax, weakness policy, Yveltal on the field. It's a little bit terrifying. Even then, you can just not even Dynamax it, break your weakness policy, and then get the Oblivion Wing off, and then heal all of your health back.
Right.
For no reason.
680 base stat total. Got it.
In case you weren't aware, or in case people listening weren't aware, Oblivion Wing deals damage and then recovers the user for 75% of the HP that you dealt. So that plus weakness policy is disgusting. You can even run like a Sucker Punch set so you get a little bit of priority. Gets ghost moves, gets a lot of flying moves. You can go physical or special. You just have a lot of options with this Pokemon. It's also just faster than Galarian Moltres, which is nice as well. I think, spooky. And also gets Dark Aura. So it's essentially a free life orb for dark moves.
Better Galarian Moltres. So what we're saying is that it's S tier for sure, but not more S tier than
Zacian. Okay. I think Zacian, we can agree on, is going to be the S That's fair.
I want to get into some things that could potentially take on Zacian. So what do we think about Pokemon like Ho-Oh?
Ooh, I think being a fire type has a lot of, means a lot more this time around.
Yes.
Because you're going to need something for steel types. Like every team is going to require it. Incineroar is not enough.
Fair.
So I think for that simple fact, I would say Ho-Oh is a solid, it's not C tier, it's a solid B tier.
Solid.
Because we also have to remember, like, Ho-Oh goes down to like a rock slide.
Yeah. And I mean, if we think about the non-legendary meta too, like we've got Regieleki now, just kind of running shot. Colossal. Watch out for Colossal. We can basically just take every flying type Pokemon and move them right into C or B. Mm-hmm. Because of like Colossal, because of Regieleki. This is going to be pretty hard for Pokemon like Lugia. I know we've got some Lugia fans in the chat right now. Hildo stuff, Spatula Titan, saying that Ho-Oh deserves to be a little higher.
I got to see it to believe it. I think that Reshiram outperforms Ho-Oh, in my opinion.
Interesting. Where would you put Reshiram?
Reshiram's like a solid A tier. I think, like I said, the meta is really reliant on a good fire type. Because right now, good fire types are very limited. Especially offensive-wise. Ho-Oh is defensive. But we're not looking for defensive. Defensive can't take care of Zacian, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, it is important to also take a look at Ho-Oh as well. I mean, it's got that same super impressive stat total that we just credited Yveltal with. Very, very specially defensive. Has a lot of good resistances. Pretty speedy. So, you know, that kind of Pokemon in Tailwind might be worth taking a look at for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, it is also important to note, folks, that this list is not like the best legendaries. This isn't a tier list of the best legendaries. This is Pokemon that are going to stack up well in VGC 2020. Now, that might mean that some of the favorites might be getting tanked, but, you know, you just kind of got to chalk it up to typing and stat advantage not being where they should be. So with that said, let's move on. We've got Ho-Oh in there. We've got Reshiram in there. Solid B. What do we think about, you know, you've already talked about Zacian. What about Zamazenta?
Oh, Zamazenta's C tier. I don't see Zamazenta doing anything. Zamazenta. Nah. Sorry, Zamazenta.
No, I would agree with that.
I prefer it to the, like, design wise, I prefer it a lot, but I think it just, it doesn't stack up. No. Like, why, we don't need a fighting type when we have an Urshifu, and Zamazenta is going to take a whole restricted spot.
That's so like, unfortunate, meh. Too, because it's got such nice stat totals. Like, I love the stat totals on Zamazenta. You've got a base 720 with 80 special attacks. So you've got a low special attack that you can basically wipe right off of the stat total. You guys know how I like to do this. 640 is your new stat, like your relevant stat total.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, it's a good Pokemon on paper. I just don't think it'll stack up. Like, what reason do you have to run this over Zacian?
Right.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I guess you can run both, but then you're, like, double steel type, so.
Double doggos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There might be a place in a certain archetype where Zamazenta fits. It's just not something that I can think of right now. Because, guys, remember, I didn't test this. It's just me going.
No,
this,
yeah, these
this
are,
meta
these are
needs
thoughts.
Testing. This is just thoughts.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So let's keep going then. We've got, I'm going to hold
let's,
off on
let's
this
do
one.
Weather.
People are hoping. But yeah, let's do weather. So we've got, let's go Kyogre first.
I think, honestly, just Kyogre Groudon both A tier. Because weather is good. And any reason for me not to use a Torkoal or not to use a Politoed, I'm going to take it. Kyogre's dumb. Groudon's dumb. Weather's going to be good, especially since you're going to be allowed to run a Groudon and a Megazord. Not Megazord, a Gigantamax Charizard on the same team.
Right.
You're going to be allowed to run Groudon and a Venusaur on the same team.
Yeah, that's going to come right back, huh?
Kyogre and Tornadus was an incredible combination. Just like having Tailwind with your Water Spout spam user.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting. Especially in dynamic speed, by the way.
Right.
We're in dynamic speed now, which is another thing that I guess we can kind of include in the Dynamax meta is now we're in dynamic speed. It's the mm-hmm. first time that these legendaries are even seeing dynamic speed. So
now one thing that people have been I have not grown up in the VGC sphere, but one thing that I do know is that Groudon is incredibly nasty in it. So that said, does that have any merit here? Like, is Groudon going to be a nasty Pokemon here, or what do we think?
I think their primals are gone, so they're a lot weaker. If they had primals, instant SS tier, like those were really strong, unnecessarily strong. But since they're a little bit nerfed now, it's only drought. You can change it whenever you want. It is a lot, you know, more balanced. I think Groudon has a place.
Right.
It's definitely, in my opinion, better than Torkoal. Just because of how... I wonder, does it still get Precipice Blades if it doesn't get Primal?
Oh, man, I cannot remember.
I don't know. But
yes,
if
it
not,
yes,
it gets
does.
Earthquake.
Yes, it does get Precipice okay. Blades, yep.
All right. So, yeah, Precipice Blades is a great move.
Uh-huh. On base 150.
Yeah, base 150 spread move, pretty good.
Eh, not bad.
So I think it has a place for sure.
Okay. All right. So where in the tier does this go?
I think Kyogre above Groudon.
Kyogre above Groudon. All right. What about compared to Xerneas and Reshiram?
Probably Kyogre above Resh, and then Groudon still at the end.
Okay.
Groudon's biggest problem is being physical, and then Intimidators being a factor.
That's fair. Okay. So then let's continue with this. We've already done Reshiram. How about we do Zekrom?
Zekrom I'm not actually impressed with. Sorry, Zekrom fans. Yeah, I mean, I think Zekrom is a solid B.
Solid
like probably
B.
The end of B. It's a great typing, don't get me wrong, but you have things like a Lecky, like
it's completely outclassing.
Yeah, it's like you have so many. Yeah, you have a Lecky, which is an electric type. It's a lot faster, more supportive. I mean,
right.
Physical electric types are very rare, and I think Zekrom has that uniqueness to it. But I wouldn't sacrifice a restricted spot for a Pokemon that goes down to Groudon EQ, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Kind of iffy. Also goes down to Xerneas.
You brought up a really
Zacian.
Good point, too. You brought up a really, really good point with dynamic speed. How legendaries, just by merit of being legendaries, have always had super high stat totals. So now with dynamic speed being a thing, Pokemon are able to go from like 90 or 120 to double that in the same turn, making their stat total like way above some of the other Pokemon, like the lesser non-legendary Pokemon. So it may make legendaries like the Pokemon to use. And that's kind of why I'm thinking that the smart move on Game Freak side would be to limit the amount of legendaries that you can bring on a team. Because it's going to be so all about what legendary you bring in. If that's the case, more so even than what what Pokemon you Dynamax. In some cases, it's going to be both the Pokemon that you make a legendary and then the Pokemon that you Dynamax. They might be the same Pokemon in some cases.
Yeah, like honestly, this is gonna be unprecedented. I feel like restricteds are gonna be on a lot higher of a pedestal than they were before.
Yeah.
Which is why they can't bring things like Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre and Mega Rayquaza back. Because like, imagine those Pokemon right now.
Please don't.
Like, just be silly.
Please don't ruin this game. I love it. I love it so much.
I think the way it's shaping out to be, it's all still playable, right? It doesn't seem like the only Pokemon that's over the top right now, in my opinion, is Zacian. But people find a way around it. They always
find a way. Yeah. All right. Let's continue with the list. We haven't gone into DPP yet. So let's go for Palkia.
Palkia is interesting. I think Palkia as a typing is very unique. Mm-hmm. I think it's a B tier because it's still a water dragon. And I feel like those two typings are already taken up by better Pokemon. Like if you want a dragon type, you do Reshiram. If you want a water type, you do Kyogre. But the honorable mention here is that this is like the first time that Palkia is getting a reliable water move because Max Geyser exists. And there's so many fun shenanigans you can do with like a Comfy and like proccing weakness policy. You know, I love proccing weakness policies. And then going for Geysers, which I think is very strong, especially because, you know, Palkia is a very strong Pokemon. It also gets like Spacious Rend or something Rend, the dragon move. That does a lot of damage.
Vicious Rend.
That does a lot of damage too. I think it has a place, but not top.
But not at the top. Okay.
Same thing kind of goes for Dialga. I even stick Dialga in the same tier.
Really?
Dialga just kind of reminds me of a worse Duskmane Necrozma because it can serve as that weakness policy bulldoze procker thing, but you do lose the speed. Duskmane Necrozma has like the super clear body. So you can't actually.
That said, where are you putting Duskmane Necrozma?
Duskmane Necrozma is S tier for sure.
Oh, okay.
S tier. Think Metagross, but like better in every way. You saw how much like of I guess an impact that Metagross made the second it was introduced to the metagame.
Yeah.
Just imagine a Metagross with 157 attack and like the same defenses. It's a little bit terrifying.
I so badly want to pull up Duskmane Necrozma's stats, but they're a little bit more difficult to find. So
I made a little bit of a mistake. It gets Prism Armor, not the super clear body. The Solgaleo gets a super clear body, which should still be S tier, I think. Solgaleo I still put in S tier. They both do their own thing. I think the Necrozma. Wait, what? No, Solgaleo and Duskmane should be in S tier.
So Solgaleo is Duskmane, Dawnwings is the other one.
I know there's two different Pokemon though.
Correct.
I'm confused.
What are you talking about?
Solgaleo. You're putting both of them?
Oh, Solgaleo and Duskmane. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Both in S tier. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Because Duskmane Necrozma, what it does is set Trick Room, and it's a very reliable Trick Room setter. It can function in both, you know, inside and outside of Trick Room because of its 77 speed tier. And then Solgaleo is the weakness policy proccing with Bulldoze.
Yes. Okay. So I guess what I mean to ask here, what about Lunala and Dawnwings? Necrozma.
Dawnwings is kind of in an unfortunate place because it's 4 times weak to dark and 4 times weak to ghost.
Oh, fair.
It does have, you know, multi-scale pretty much. So it could take one hit, but I don't know. There's a lot of dark and ghost types right now. I'm a little bit hesitant. I would put them solid Bs. Maybe Dawnwings, Necrozma, an A, but Lunala a B.
Mm-hmm.
The Calyrex, though. I want to talk about the horses.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to say that the Ghost Rider is really good, and I think you from a singles background knows it's very good because that it's taking over singles. I think, has it been banned already? Probably. The problem with Ghost Rider is that its stat distributions is like too good.
Right.
It has 100 HP, 165 special attack and base 150 speed, making it outspeed Dragapult even. Outspeeds Zacian, which I think could be very big, especially because it gets Will-O-Wisp too. We have to remember that.
Yeah.
Anything that outspeeds Zacian and gets Will-O-Wisp is really nice. The biggest drawback would be, also I'm making this S tier, by the way. The biggest drawback would be probably the typing isn't impressive, but you don't really rely on defenses too much. You're kind of the squishier version of the horsies.
Right.
But yeah.
So for Shadow Rider Calyrex, I'm just pulling up the stats right here. Whoop. Yeah, that's, oh yeah. If you look at the base stats for Shadow Rider, oof, that's 150 for speed. That's 165 for special attack. Like everything that Spectrier was good at is just so much better now. Holy. And then for Ice Rider, even better of a Trick Room user, right? Because you've got that mm-hmm. 50 speed. Like it's a little bit slower than a little bit faster than the Glacier, but that defense and special defense, like this thing isn't taking damage.
No, not at all. I mean, the only thing is that the typing is complete garbage for Ice Rider.
Right.
It has like 7 weaknesses or 6 weaknesses. It's like, okay.
Gross. So yeah. We are putting...
I would A-tier that one.
A-tier this one.
The Ice Rider, yeah.
I think I'd be comfortable putting that at the end of A-tier.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's situational because you have to set Trick Room to make it good. And even if you're in Trick Room, you have a lot of things that can KO you. Yeah. Especially like Steel types, which is a big one.
That's fair. So... we've only got 4 left. Let's go Gen 1. Where would you put the original legendary boy Mewtwo?
Honestly, this might be a hot take, and I understand that people are going to disagree with me here.
Whoa.
I'm going to put Mewtwo in A tier, but at the end of A tier. Only reason is for expanding force.
Yeah.
If the only reason is for expanding force, that is the biggest reason, because Mewtwo does a lot of damage with expanding force.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, base 154, base 130 speed. Mewtwo's a good Pokemon. I shouldn't even have to explain this one. Unnerve as an ability can be pretty good, especially against, like, you know, berry spammers, mm-hmm. people that only have heal berries. That can come in handy. But like I said, I don't think it'll trump things like Dusk Wings or Dawn Wings. They won't trump things like Groudon or Kyogre. It's right at the end of A. I respect it enough.
Yeah, no, I respect that. I think that's fine. So 3 more now. Lugia, Rayquaza, and Giratina. What about Giratina?
I'm personally not impressed with Giratina.
Oh.
What does it even... I don't think it does anything. It's just tanky. Like, it's just tanky. It sets Trick Room and it's tanky. I mean... congratulations, you accomplished the same thing as a Dusclops. I don't need to put you on my restricted spot.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to say that's a C tier. I'm not impressed with Giratina. I love it as a Pokemon. I understand Sinnoh remakes is a potential thing, and you guys love your Giratina, but I'm sorry.
So here's a question. If Dusclops is so widely used, and a tankier Dusclops is coming out, why would that not be immediately used way more than Dusclops?
Because it takes the restricted spot.
If it's restricted.
You're only allowed a restricted spot. And if your restricted accomplishes the same thing as an unevolved Pokemon, then I'm leaning towards the unevolved Pokemon.
That's fair. All right. Let's go for Rayquaza, just so I control everybody in the chat right now.
C tier.
What's that? You cut out.
C tier.
C tier.
Yeah.
Above is Giratina, like the very end, by the way, or is
I would put Rayquaza below it. Like Rayquaza doesn't really do anything.
Okay,
Dragon Flying is not a great typing right about now, guys. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Yeah, anything with flying type.
And the problem with Rayquaza is that it'll die to an Ice Shard from a Mamoswine. So, what is the point?
Oh, whoops. All right.
If Mega existed, then maybe, but it doesn't. So
yeah,
it goes back to being unimpressive.
That's fair. Okay, so I may have to do a lot of damage control with a lot of people in the chat for this one. Where are we putting the Lugia, Kevin?
I won't put it in C.
Okay.
I'll put it in B. It's going in B. It's going, I want to say, at the end of B, but it's going in B.
Okay.
The only reason it's going B is because it's a very reliable Trick Room setter with multi-scale.
Correct.
You'll almost always get it up because you just have to give yourself a mental herb and then Trick Room and then you're fine.
Right.
So I respect it.
The downside to that, and I think I can help with this one a little bit is if we look at the top five Pokemon on Pikalytics right at this very moment, Urshifu, Urshifu Single Strike does not want to give a Wicked Blow to a or Lugia does not want to take a Wicked Blow from an Urshifu. Regieleki does not. Lugia does not want to take a Thunderbolt or a Volt Switch or anything from a Regieleki. Yuck. Incineroar even? Like, when Incineroar isn't really threatened by this Pokemon? Like, ugh, I don't know. Glastrier? Heard of him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly. I mean, you're kind of right. I was putting multi-scale on a pedestal, but all you really got to do is fake it out and then hit it with the super effective move, and then it still goes down. So.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean, I guess you can do the whole. What's that? What's the Lugia move? Aeroblast?
Yes.
Yes. I wonder if that animation is going to be the exact same as Max Airstream, because now that I think about it, they are the same thing.
Probably. Huh. Honorable mention, though.
Okay.
We didn't talk about, what's that Pokemon's name? Zygarde Complete Form?
Oh, yeah.
Or Zygarde in general? I think we can agree that regular Zygarde and Zygarde 10% are both not that great. They should both go to C tier. But I think Complete Form has a niche, right?
Mm.
I'm going to give that a B.
Was that allowed?
Yeah, that's allowed.
In VGC?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
It's technically in the game.
Mm.
The complete form has base 216 HP. Imagine Dynamaxing that. That'll be fun. That's like the only reason I kind of want to see this thing do its thing. The problem is that its attack isn't that great, and its like defenses and speed aren't that great, so I don't really want to put it in like a super high tier. It's just very tanky. But that's pretty much it.
Interesting.
I think it's like the thousand arrow, thousand waves thing.
Say that again?
The thousand arrows, thousand waves thing. The move that does the thing.
But no, you're right. It does have like a very, very high stat total. Taking away special attack, that puts it at what? Like 6, 17 something. Or something? 6, 17? That's not bad.
It won't change the game.
Double
but
your
I think
speed in Tailwind? That's pretty nasty.
It's also like one of my favorite Pokemon designs. It reminds me of a Power Ranger, and I used to love Power Rangers.
It's like a mix between a Gundam and a Power Ranger. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like really it. Cool. It is.
I
really want to
make
cool.
it work.
I'm sure we'll be trying once that actually comes out.
Every single Pokemon here from your Zacian to your Rayquazas will be probably trying.
Oh, for sure.
So if you guys don't already follow us on YouTube, follow us on YouTube.
Let me pull back the curtain a little bit. When new things come out like that, we are always trying those out like first. So mm-hmm. if you're ever like starting a new game or a new series and you want to know how certain Pokemon stack up, we likely have already or will make a video on those as we do put out stuff every single day.
You could probably type that Pokemon's name and then write the word PokeSports after it. You'll find it.
Yeah, quite likely. And of course, that is youtube.com/PokeSports. You can also find us on Twitter at PokeSportsPod or Instagram at PokeSportsPodcast. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or find us on Patreon at PokeSportsPodcast. There's going to be a New Year's League, by the way, for anybody who is curious about next month's league, if that is going to happen. Absolutely every single month that it does. Going to be making a few changes to the website coming up, but one thing that we can mention right now is that we have a weakness calculator on the mm-hmm. on the site right now, so you can go there, check out, I think it's called Team Builder right now, which we'll probably mm-hmm. rename, but you can go there to go and see if your team matches up pretty well against other types. That's pokesports.org.
Yeah, and we also have a damage calc there that is actually completely updated for all the restricted Pokemon that we talked about. I know a couple of damage calcs aren't updated for that, so if you feel like calcing early, the option is there.
Get it going. Exactly. Do want to thank a lot of the patrons out there. Of course, we've got Ahmed, Dante, Elijah, Zach, Level 1, Pidgey, Colton, Sheldon, Trevor, Alex, Brian, Carlo, Jolty, Jolly, Lights Out, Together Become Jolty, Jolts Out, I like that. Ro Ixon, Scott, Josh, Alex, Dustin, Jesse, Joseph, King Boo, Martin, Rowan, T, Matt, I, M, Travis, Jack S, Jack B, Jack C, Jonathan, Chris, Federico, Greg, Jason, LA Caveman, Pierre, Pink Hat Boy, Ryan, So and Tristan, and of course, Tofu. You guys are making this all very, very worth it. Thank you very much. Big thanks to M Dash for every single second of every single piece of music that you hear on this podcast. Go and check out M Dash. He's a great person. Kevin, you got any, where can people find you? I never do this. Where do people find you?
X Reservation, Instagram, Twitter.
And then you can find me anywhere you find your people. That's still just Mike, preferably Instagram or Twitter. Folks, we hope to see you next week. Next week is going to be an interesting one. It is going to be the last Poge Sports podcast before Christmas. And so we are going to bring you a very special Christmas-themed episode of Poge Sports. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye. Later, guys.